Good morning, and welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm Pastor Rod Hank, and it's my pleasure to worship with you all today. It is the 10th Sunday of Pentecost, which is our long season of Christian growth, the green season in the church. You'll notice I'm wearing green, the altar has green, but we are also entering right now the 5 weeks of bread scriptures. The Gospel of John, and talking about how Jesus is the bread of the world and the bread of life. So today, that's what we have. There are a few announcements as we begin our time together. First of all, choir begins rehearsal this next week on August 5th, Thursday, August 5th. So please check the e-news for more information about that and let Linda know. If you are interested in singing in choir, we are always, always, always accepting new members. Speaking of new members, new member class begins on August 15th at 10:45 a.m. There will be classes on the 15th and the 22nd, and then on the 29th, the new members will be received as part of our congregation. If you're interested in that, please contact the church office or the names that are listed in the e-news. Also, I've been asked to announce that Joyful Mission Preschool, they are seeking one part-time teacher. It's 18 hours per week. So if you have a love of little ones in your heart and you feel called to come out and teach for 18 hours a week, they're looking for you. Please contact Lauren Broken at your earliest convenience. And finally, it is the best time of the summer. Rotary peaches are here. Now, we, as Joy Lutheran Church, we have a reputation to uphold. We have ordered more peaches than most, maybe all, of the other churches in Parker. So it's time to order our peaches this year. I've already put my order in, and it's time. They're available this year. It is so exciting. All right. Those are all in our announcements. Please check the e-news for more, including the men's retreat, the women's retreats. It's all there for your convenience. Let's begin our worship the way that we always do. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take a moment to share that peace with the people near us and far away. We continue with our confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the God of manna, the God of miracles, and the God of mercy. Amen. Drawn to Christ and seeking God's abundance, let us take some time to confess our sin. A moment of silent reflection. We confess, God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe there is enough to share. We question your ways when they differ from the ways of the world in which we live. We turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in you. We take offense at your teachings and your ways. Turn us again to you. Share with us the words of eternal life and feed us for the life of the world. Amen. Beloved people of God, in Jesus, the manna from heaven, we are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. Through Jesus, the living bread of life, we are shown God's mercy. We are forgiven and loved into abundant life. Amen. Let's join together in singing the hymn. The opening hymn, What Feast of Love.
What food of
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us join together in praying the prayer of the day. O God, eternal goodness, immeasurable love, you place your gifts before us. We eat and are satisfied. Fill us and this world and all its needs with the life that comes only from you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We continue with the readings.
The first reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2-4 and 9-15. A food crisis became a faith crisis for the Israelites in the wilderness. The hungry people forget God's saving work in the Exodus, and they wish for the food they had in Egypt. Nevertheless, God miraculously meets their needs with manna for bread and quail for meat. So the whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that day I will test them, whether they will follow my instructions or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread, and then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. Our responsive psalm is Psalm 78, verses 23-29. So God commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, raining down manna upon them to eat and giving them grain from heaven. So mortals ate the bread of angels. God provided for them food enough. The Lord caused the east wind to blow in the heavens and powerfully led out the south wind, raining down flesh upon them like dust and flying birds like the sand of the seas, letting them fall in the midst of the camp and round about the dwellings. So the people ate and were well filled, for God gave them what they craved. Our second lesson is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Christians share fundamental unity and diversity. Our unity consists in the one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. Our diversity is expressed in various forms of ministry, whose goal is equipping the saints and building up Christ's one body. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Here end the readings.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When they found Jesus on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue with our children's sermon. Good morning. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the children's sermon. So excited that you're here. So today's lesson is about Jesus being the bread of life, but it's also about those people who came to see Jesus, who wanted more and more and more bread. Hey, I see my friend here. Guess what? Gene Gordon, the council president of our church, is here today. Gene, will you want to come up and sit by me for a minute?
Sure.
All right. How are you doing today, Gene?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Good. Good deal. Thank you. I'm glad you're here today. Hey, Gene, I've been meaning to talk to you. There's something I want to do. I really don't want to talk about what it is or anything like that, but I was wondering, do you have like $5 that I could borrow?
Sure. No problem.
For really?
You, I'm happy to give it to you.
Well, that's awesome. Look at this. $5. So hold on a second. So listen, Gene just gave me $5, and that's pretty cool, right? I mean, that's a lot of money. I can do a lot of things with $5, but I wonder if I could get more money out of him. I wonder if I could talk him into giving me more money. Hold on, let's check. So, Gene, I was thinking that $5 is really nice. $5 is really nice. But I was wondering if maybe I could borrow a little bit more or just have. Maybe I could just have a little bit more. I wonder if you had like $20 to go with this $5 so I'd have $25.
You know, always want to help a good friend in need. So here's $20.
Get out of here. Really? I don't have to pay it back?
No.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. What a chump. Gene has given me $25. I bet I could get more. Wait a minute. Let's check. Hey, Gene, buddy, good friend, pal. I was wondering if maybe I could have $100 to go with my $5 and my $20. Could I have $100?
Really?
Well, I don't know.
I feel like I've been generous already.
Yeah, sure, you've been generous. Yeah. But it'd be really nice if I could have $100 more.
Well, I mean, do you really care about me as a friend, or do you care about the money?
Right. See, here's the problem, is that those people who were following Jesus, those were the same people who had seen the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. They ate a whole bunch of bread and a whole bunch of fish, and they had their bellies full, but when they got hungry again, they decided it was time to go find Jesus again. Not because they loved him, not because they cared about him, just because they wanted more bread. And Jesus said, listen, you guys, he said, don't work so hard for the bread that's not going to fill you up. He said, I am the bread of life. You come to me, you believe in me, you love me, and I will give you everything. I will give you eternal life and you will live with God forever. See? Gene's right. He's right. And he's my friend. He helped me today. So just so you know, I wasn't really being mean to him. But he's right. We need to love Jesus for who he is, not for what he does. Does that make sense? Capiche?
Kapash.
All right. Well, let's have a prayer. Here we go. Dear God, thank you so much for sending Jesus, the bread of life. Help us to understand that he wants us to have everything that you are giving us in the kingdom of God. And that these things in life, these little things, they're important. But they're not everything. Jesus is everything. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. All right. Thanks for coming. Thanks for helping today, Gene. Really appreciate it. Okay. Take care.
Take care.
Okay. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Anyone out there use ChapStick? Did you know that there's a little bit of controversy surrounding ChapStick and all those other lip balms for that matter? Because there's a good part. They actually do, in fact, put a seal over the top of your lips, which actually locks in moisture. But there's also a problem. They don't actually heal your lips. So if your lips were sore or cracked or whatever, and you put this on, it's still sore and cracked underneath. And in addition, some of the chemicals that live inside those little tubes, the chemicals that are supposed to soothe and maybe heal your dry, cracked lip, may actually cause more problems. Like continued irritation or a small allergic reaction, things like that. So, of course, when we feel those problems, to help with the problem, we grab some ChapStick, some more ChapStick, and we smear it on and we hope for the best, but it's a cycle, right? The more you use, the more you need, the more you want, the more they sell, the more you use, the more you need and want, et cetera, round and round it goes. With no real satisfaction or healing. Now, before you all protest and say, Pastor Rod, why are you so mean to those of us who like ChapStick? I have the same kind of thing happening with another product, this stuff over here. See, when Janet and I go out hiking and walking and I get really thirsty, I can't wait. I simply cannot wait to get home and get an ice cold drink out of our little refrigerator. And this one is literally called ice. I love the taste. I love this flavor in particular. It's black cherry, and I really enjoy how cold it gets. It's so refreshing when you're hot. Hold on. Let me take a drink. But see, there's just one problem. This particular drink does not quench my thirst. I don't know why. It's liquid, it's cold, it should help meet my immediate need, but it just doesn't. There is something inside this bottle that actually makes me more and more thirsty so that I keep coming back over and over again. And I do. I do. I'm just like that dog from Proverbs 26:11. It says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. I just keep coming back, even though it doesn't really quench my thirst. So that is like the people in the gospel lesson today. They kept coming back for more and more bread. See, they had just witnessed this miraculous replication of food, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus took 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and he fed all of those hungry people, 5,000 plus. And not only that, they ate just as much as they possibly could eat, as much as they wanted, until they were completely full, stuffed, completely satisfied. Well, for a while. Of course, it didn't last. You all know how our bodies work. We have to eat every single day, several times during the day, just to keep this physical machine going. So eventually, this miraculous meal of fish and bread wore off. They started to get hungry again. They needed more. So naturally, they went to the source, to that unlimited fish and bread buffet, in order to get more to eat. They once again stalked Jesus. Not because of who he was, but because of what he had done. They don't want more Jesus. They want more food. So when I was at seminary, I also worked part-time as a youth director at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Dubuque, Iowa. It was a great gig for a seminary student. They understood what it meant. Well, one time we attended Sunday morning service, and it was time to go up for the sacrament of Holy Communion. I was helping our daughter, Katie, who at the time was right around 3 years old. We knelt down at the altar. I had my hands out, and I received bread. Katie was kneeling at the altar. The pastor came and put his hands on top of her head and gave her a blessing. Now, she looked around at the people gathered there, and all the other people at the railing were getting bread, but she did not. So in this quiet, holy, reflective moment, Katie screamed at the top of her lungs, "I want bread!" Now listen, I don't think she understood that it was the body of Christ given for her for the forgiveness of her sins, but I do think she understood that the body of Christ, the people of God, were gathered together for this holy meal, and she understood that she was left out, that she wasn't part of it, and that was the source of her Protestant cry, "I want bread." You know, this gospel lesson, this story, is our story too. It's not just an ancient biblical story. It's a present day story. These hungry people are coming to Jesus and asking him, "Hey, we need more. What have you done for us lately? It's time for you to provide." Because they are hungry. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We're hungry too. And we need to ask ourselves, what do we hunger for? What are we seeking? The people in the gospel lesson came looking for Jesus because they wanted bread. Why do you look for Jesus? What do you want from him? Community? Peace? Peace in the world? Peace of mind? Security? So nothing will ever be scary? Stability? How about a return to the good old days? We want all kinds of things. And unfortunately, in this world that is constantly changing around us, none of these things can actually be sustained. Even when we eat the best meal of our lives, where the food is gourmet, and the night is beautiful and perfect, and the people around you are all your favorite people in the whole wide world, we can't freeze time. That moment comes and it goes. And we will be hungry again. We'll be hungry for more food. We'll be hungry for another beautiful night. Just one more, Lord God, please. We'll be hungry for all those people that we love so much to be around us again. As time moves forward, we hunger more and more. Anyway, the people in the gospel lesson, they find Jesus. And out of their hunger, they ask him three questions. And it's the same three questions that we ask Jesus all the time. First of all, they said, "When did you get here?" But can you hear the real question? They wanted to know this. Where did you go? Where were you? We were hungry and we were looking for you and you weren't there. Where were you, Jesus, when we had need? So at camp this past week, I met Pastor Jay, who works with children and youth at Abiding Hope Lutheran Church. He's a great guy, and I enjoyed getting to know him. But one of the things that he said made me laugh. He said that a lot of people think of God as a holy goalie. You know, in hockey, a holy goalie. It's the goalie's job to keep the bad things away from the net. And we think it's God's job to keep all the bad things away from us. And when something gets through, we begin to question whether or not we have chosen the right goalie for that position. Why did my family member die? Why can't I find a job? Why am I so dissatisfied with life? And we look at God, our holy goalie, and we say, "Aren't you supposed to provide everything that I need? Aren't you supposed to protect me from all these bad things in the world?" So we look at God and we say, "Where are you?" Well, please note, in typical Jesus style, He doesn't answer the question that the people ask. He cuts through all the garbage and he answers the real question behind it. Jesus answered, "You're not looking for me because you've seen the signs that lead you to God. You're looking for me because you got exactly what you wanted. Your belly was full of bread." He said, "Stop looking for bread. I can give you something more. I can give you the bread of eternal life." Well, immediately they ask their second question. They look at Jesus and say, "Well then, what must we do to perform the works of God?" Now, people ask me this question all the time, but it's from the other direction. They say, "What have I done wrong? Because obviously, by all the difficult things that I have in my life, I'm not doing what God wants me to do. God must be punishing me." We like to put it all back on ourselves. Like, if God loves us, our lives will be good because we are good people. If God does not love us, our lives will be bad because we are bad people. And it is not that simple. It's just not that true. It's not the way that Jesus said the kingdom of God works. If you need a refresher about who Jesus said was loved and blessed by God, I encourage you to reread the Beatitudes from the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus turns all this thinking about earning God's love and deserving a good life upside down and on its ear. Jesus answered the people, "This isn't about you. It's not your work. This is God's work. God is doing something new in the world. God is giving you and everyone else the bread of life, the food you can eat that will sustain you in and through all these difficult situations in life, all the way to eternal life. So believe in the one whom God has sent. That's your job. God has done the rest." Well, then, completely ignoring Jesus, they forge ahead and ask their final question. They ask, "Well, what sign are you going to give us then to prove that you are from God?" Let's just stop for a minute, shall we? Seriously? Jesus had literally just done the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And all of these people, these are the exact same people who are grilling Jesus right now. These are the same people who just ate all the bread and fish that they could possibly eat that was miraculously multiplied before them until it was coming out of their ears. And yet they still ask, "What sign are you going to give us, Jesus, to prove that you're from God?" Wow. This is totally human nature on display. But Jesus didn't react badly, even though he had a right to. He had tremendous self-control. He answered, "Listen, you know back when Moses gave you manna in the wilderness, that bread from heaven? It wasn't Moses who gave you that bread. It was God. And it's not what I can do for you right here and now that is really going to change your lives. It's what God is doing. God has given you the living bread. But it's not like that manna that you needed to gather every single day just to survive. This time, the bread has come down from heaven and gives life to the world. It's me," Jesus said. "I am the bread of life. Come to me and you won't be hungry. Come to me and you won't be thirsty. Come to me and in the process, you are coming to God." So here's the point. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." The gift isn't what Jesus can do for us from day to day. The gift is Jesus himself. He said, "I am." Make no mistake. He was pointing to himself and the relationship he had with God. God's name is I Am. When Jesus says, "I am," he is clearly aligning himself with God the Father and that connection to God and the power of God and the love of God. And he's saying this as clearly as possible. "All who believe in me, all who draw close to me, all who seek me will not hunger or thirst, will not be in need for anything that this world has to offer." You know what he means. people who are satisfied, they don't go looking for more. They don't try to prove their worthiness, significance, or goodness. Come to Jesus and you can be free from all three of those questions, because you will be full. And if you've had your fill of food, you don't keep eating. And if you've had your fill of water, you don't keep drinking. And if you've had your fill of Jesus, then you don't have to keep looking for more and more and more things to give your life significance. It's Him. He is the bread of life. One final quote today. This is from Robert Capon, an Episcopal priest, theologian, and author. He wrote this: "The Messiah was not going to save the world by miracles, band-aid interventions, a storm-calm sea, a crowd fed there, a mother-in-law cured back down the road. Rather, humanity would be saved by the mystery of His perfect sacrifice on a blood-stained cross." Jesus is the bread of life. Come to Him. Just come to Him. Eat and live. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together the hymn of the day.
One Lord.
We continue our worship this morning by confessing our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and for the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us join together in praying for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, while you walked among us here on earth, you taught us, you encouraged us not to hang on to the things of this world, not to think that our meaning or our purpose or even our life is hidden in the things around us. But in fact, you are the bread of life. Help us to come to you above and over all other things, and to eat and to drink and to be your people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we do pray for your healing touch on many of the members of our church right now and many of the things that they're going through. We ask that you be with Emma Polzer as she recovers from illness, that you be with Olivia Polzer and her significant love of her life boyfriend, Cody, that you be with them as they face incredibly difficult physical things. We ask, Lord, that you be with Kepler, the baby boy, the baby grandson of Robin, who needs strength right now, strength and healing so that he can go home and be with his mama. We also pray for Mary Lou DeVoe, who needs your healing power for her back. And we pray for Doc Martin, who is healing from a fall. Lord, we ask that you be with all these and others that we mention now silently in our own hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Today, Lord, we heard how you called yourself the bread of life. You said, I am the bread of life. You've also said to us, I am the resurrection and the life, so that when we face death, we have hope that lives in you, that we can be raised from the dead just like you. And so today we commend several people to your care. We pray for Josh Nelson's father who passed away. And we also ask for comfort and strength for the whole family, for Josh and Caitlin and Greta and Andrick and all their family. Lord, we also pray today for Ryan and Megan Armstrong at the tragic death of Megan's uncle, Larry. We pray for the family of Kathy Bush, who passed away this past week. And we ask that you be especially with Greg, who loved Kathy so dearly. We ask that you be with the family of Steph Lederhaus as they begin to make plans for her memorial service. Watch over them, hold them close to you, and give them hope. And finally, Lord, we pray for the Highlands Ranch soccer team as they struggle with the death of one of their coaches, their beloved coach. Watch over these young hearts. Give them strength and hope so that they can live. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, it's with great joy this morning, Lord God, that we lift up Bjorn Weichel. There we go. That we lift up Bjorn Weichel. We ask that you be with his parents, Megan and Jonathan, as they have committed to raising their child in the faith. Be with all the sponsors, even the ones who could not be present, and the family who could not be present, and help them all know that we are part of one big family, and we will help take care of this child and raise Bjorn up into the faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. This morning, we continue with our offering piece. And remember, you know, y'all can send your offerings in or do it electronically. All those kind of things work. But this is an offering that Doug Barta is doing for us today. And it's about that water that we talked about in Bjorn's baptism, the water of God. The water is wide. Our worship with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary. It's our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ, the bread of life, who once again on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection has opened up the way for us for everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. To thee, O Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. We praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, and into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, right beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he is betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Invite you to receive the blessing. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, we ask that you strengthen us to love this world with your life. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And now, may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and keep us now and forever. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn, "Blessed Be the Ties That Bind." And now, go in peace. We are the body of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.